This I'm is set. Stunt Granny Audio 948, if I'm not mistaken.
You know, I know we're not professional, but it's like we should at least know the damn number. It's my fault, too. I don't know it either.
I'm pretty sure that it was 947 there on Tuesday. So.
Oh, yeah. I guess I can just look on Spotify. Find us at all your... Find us on wherever you can download your favorite podcast.
Get that part out of the way up front.
Did you see... I almost said Colorado, but Denver chose Bo Nix?
yes. I did see that.
Okie dokie.
Yeah, I mean... We are going to be through this first round of the NFL draft in no time. Like, I think we might actually finish the podcast after this first round is over.
Yeah. Oh, no, welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 949. You're 949. Thank you. Thank you, Spotify. Yeah, just odd. So, that wasn't a name you heard at all, but...
at least Mel Kiper was talking about there being a drop-off in quarterback after Bo Nix. I feel like there's a drop-off in quarterback with Bo Nix, but hey, that's my opinion.
Well, I'm trying to figure out why the Falcons took Michael Penix. They just signed Kirk Cousins to that giant deal. I mean, I know he's not going to be around forever, but...
Yeah.
A guaranteed deal, right?
That one, to say that it's a head-scratcher is an understatement.
Yeah.
If you think that Penix needs some NFL seasoning, not great for a 26-year-old or whatever he is.
Yeah.
I mean... That guy has been plenty seasoned in college. I don't feel like that's a great look for a future quarterback. Like, hey, you're going to sit on the bench for at least 3 years.
Yeah, getting paid, too. Well, I mean, I guess they don't get that. I guess rookies don't get that much anymore, but...
It's pretty kind of locked in at this point. You know, there's some... finagling here and there, but that's about it.
Yeah, all right. My app is ahead of the TV, so all right. Anyways, yeah, so the NFL draft, so I guess when's Pittsburgh? 20th?
Yeah, right? They are 20, so
we should be on.
We are 5th. Is that saying 15 Indianapolis? Yeah, 15.
And Detroit's still got a ways to go.
It will still happen, definitely, because I knew that there were some times where the Steelers were picking in this area and Ken and I were recording, and it was just like, I don't know, we might not get to the pick tonight.
There hasn't been a defensive player taken yet.
Finish the... Oh, wow. Yeah, that's pretty wild. Also, a bit of a statement about the offensive talent that's coming out in this draft.
Yeah. Well, I guess we need to talk more wrestling, though. I mean, we'll break in when the Steelers take, obviously. But,
that's fine.
I mean, I know you and Chris, you watched Dynasty, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
I was the only one that took that one in.
Yeah.
And honestly, had to watch Swerve and Samoa Joe while we recorded. Good match. You know, I do think that the Danielson-Ospreay match was better, but it's still a good match. I felt like the ending was it kind of seemed out of the blue, even though it was his finisher.
Yeah.
One of those situations where it kind of felt odd to say that, but it was one of those ones where it didn't feel like there was a big run-up of offense to the finish for Swerve. Like, he hit a couple of big moves, and that was it.
Yeah. Well, I got TNA's Rebellion on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
And that was kind of the same with Moose and Nick Nemeth. I think a lot of people expected Nick Nemeth to win, and he just lost.
No.
And the crowd was like, what? Like, it was more of like a gasp, like, wait, that's it? And then obviously, you know, and then he rolled out of that ring quick and was gone. And I'm like, oh, something's got to be happening. And then Matt Hardy shows up. back to the old, you know, broken Matt Hardy thing. So,
oh yeah,
and he looks like he could be in good shape too. So, no, I was just curious because, you know, Dynasty. Then Jack Perry came back. We got our EVP thing. Oh. We usually start off with AEW, which I guess is what everyone wants to talk about. But I want to make sure we give NXT a proper run. So, like, I actually enjoyed this episode of AEW. It didn't bore me. I mean, maybe for not the right reasons, but, you know? Like,
yeah, that episode was, it was something. It was something. Because... I was about in tears. The wife, in no way does she want to watch AEW ever again. The sound quality there, I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait for her to listen to this. And I'm just like, I can't believe it's going this deep into the show and there is still a problem. Like, and she's even one where it's just like, she's like, that doesn't sound like why... She, like, said something that I saw online. She's like, why does it sound like this was made in the 90s? I'm just like, I don't know what to tell you there.
Yeah, the 1890s, maybe. I mean, even the 90s have better sound than this. I don't understand, and I'm usually the picky one, about production, you know, all that stuff. How did this go on for so long? Like, when I turned it on, I'm like, is Excalibur talking through a tin can? Like, what the hell's going on here? Everything's echoing. And then Dan pointed out, he's like, well, that's interesting. They had Moxley talking around all metal. So I went back and watched, like, oh, yeah, they sure did. Like, I don't understand how they repeatedly have audio issues. They've always had them.
Yeah, that's one where I'm like, I don't remember there being a problem on WWE TV like that in I don't know how long.
Could someone get killed?
I don't, you know, especially for that long of a time period, because I watched the first, 50 minutes or something while working. And so I only had the back half to watch, and it was still going on. Like, that's the one that really stuck out to me that felt really bad was the Serena Deeb.
Yes.
Like, the camera is in her lap, but she may as well have been on the beach in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Screaming her lines at the camera that was still at Daly's place. Oh my God. Like, that moment really stood out to me. Like, the other, it wasn't great, but I'm like, whatever. I can hear it. It's out.
Yeah, I have no idea what she said.
Just like, how are you doing this? Like, how is it lasting this long? And they can't even, evidently they can't fix it for those of us that watch nearly 24 hours later either.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the point. Like, this is a professional, like, you know, we start off the show saying we're not being professional. Well, that's what we've never really been. But this is like you're supposed to be a bona fide product, an alternative, if you will.
Yeah. The number two wrestling organization in North America.
Yeah, I was going to say world, but I guess New Japan maybe. But it's like...
Okay, yeah. I mean, if you want to give them extra credit, I'm good with that.
Yeah, I mean, hey, listen, I know, like, it's easy to dog on AEW because they, like, stuff like this. Oh. They've been around, what, 5 years now?
Yeah, you're closing in on five.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then none of this should ever happen. Yes, mistakes happen. WWE has them too. Like when they showed that Cody tribute and Triple H realizes, oh yeah, we don't have a video wall this week, so we're just going to give you little TVs. Like, you know, like, sorry, this is goofy as hell. But then the next week...
Yeah, some stuff happens.
Yeah, next... Like, later on... It wasn't the next week, but later on, they've shrunk the set down. Thank God. So you can actually see the wrestler instead of being like, where are they on this monolith of video screens?
I did enjoy... I don't know how much I talked about that. I love that stripped down Raw set the day after Mania.
Yeah, that was just the... with the NXT shows set up. That's all it was. They just kept it.
Oh.
Yeah. No, I liked it too. Yeah, I thought it was great. Because they want to sell tickets. You know, like you cut off that entire end of the arena that way. So.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, with close-ups. And also, how much cooler does the shot look if you've got a smaller video wall so you can see, like, you know, whatever graphics they want to put up. The person comes out, you can actually see them, but then behind them is a sea of people. That's cool. Like, you're just surrounded.
Yeah. Well, and that's what, when you mentioned them, people coming out onto these cavernous stages, that I guess that was the first thing that I thought of, was just how that proportion changed so much. Because, yeah, when the wrestlers came out, like, you know, even someone who isn't that large in Cody Rhodes looked big because, like, he's coming out through this small entrance and, like, you're focused and the shot was, like, right in there.
Yeah. Well, we don't have enough time. The production, hey, listen, WWE's always been a crisp product. Like, it's always ahead of stuff. And, comparing that in AEW is just not fair. It's not. They don't clearly have it. But it just seemed like it's been stepped up a notch, too, without losing the flair and everything else. You know, everything's important with WWE still. Even though, like, the stage is smaller, the way they handle entrances now, that stuff, like, it started with Sami Zayn, and then, well, actually, didn't it start at WrestleMania, that long, you know, Sami talking to his kid, walking through everything, and Kevin Owens did it, and Becky Lynch did it this week, like...
Yeah, they've been working that for a while now. Great. Like, if it wasn't... It might have been a little bit before WrestleMania that they started doing that. But, yeah, I guess that was another small production thing that I didn't like about AEW and kind of leads to something of a talking point, too. Mm-hmm. AEW, I kind of have liked, and I feel like they've done it a couple of different entrances to the Dynamite show, where they kind of do this wraparound segment where, you know, they talk to multiple people and they give them like a minute or so each to kind of talk about their jam. And I like that, but I also would have liked a break after that before your new AEW World's Heavyweight Champion came out.
I started AEW late because I was trying to catch up on Fargo. So I started from the beginning. Or I thought I did. So I'm watching it. I was like, oh, Swerve, cool, here we go. And I'm like, why is he dressed to wrestle? And then, what the hell is Kyle Fletcher doing in there? Now, what the hell is going on here? Did I miss something? And I even put it on Twitter, and I was like, did I miss something? Like, is Swerve not going to talk, or he's not going to come out later? No. Listen, I know that they set it up so they get people to watch Collision. And I understand the idea behind it is, hey, our new champion, he's going to talk on Collision.
Yeah, get people on the other show.
Yeah, and like try to get eyes on that show by actually trying to use what they think his star power is to get more people to watch. I get it. But not when he just won. Your flagship show is Dynamite. Keep it on Dynamite. Like, the Willow stuff, I think that should have been on Saturday. Only because, you know, Mercedes Moné is going to be on that segment as well. So you can use her supposed star power to get people to watch Collision. You know?
Oh. Yeah.
But you don't take your biggest title, your champion, which has always been established as the championship, and have him go in a nothing match against a guy that never wins. And it goes 30 minutes almost? 20, I think it was 24, 26?
I'll have to... I didn't think it was that long.
It sure felt that long, man. And listen, I know Kyle Fletcher's like up and coming, blah, blah.
He's 14:40.
That's it?
Yeah.
I swear it was longer than that.
Well, to me, that's still, it's another one of those, I feel like we've complained about a lot with AEW, and it's still happening, where it's just like, okay, if you're going to, I'm not a fan of doing this for Swerve either, as far as things go, but if you do want to have him wrestle, he should starch someone.
Yes. They need more of those in general.
But. Yeah, like, there should not have been a 14-minute match with Kyle Fletcher. Like,
no.
Like you said, like, Kyle Fletcher has done nothing but lose. Like, I know that he has a championship, but on AEW TV, we've only seen him lose.
Yeah.
The last I saw him, he lost to Will Ospreay.
Yep. Yep. And what's his name? Don Callis even points it out. And it's like, I understand, like, the angle of it. That's not the issue. My issue is, why the hell is he getting, like, these world, basically non-title matches that they've gussied up to call them world title eliminator? Your poor win-loss record is what has eliminated you, or should. So, yeah, I just thought that was a big misstep. I didn't care for the match only because it shouldn't have happened. And it shouldn't have been that long. And if it's like, well, who should have been? Nobody. You don't reward, like, why would you reward your champion by having him fight again? And I'm sure WWE's done it. And that was stupid, too.
I'm not sure it's in all instances. But, I mean, they've had the dumb baby faces who, you know, like Seth Rollins, where it's just like, I gotta wrestle each and every roll. You know, especially since thank goodness that's gone, but there were just a lot of people doing it at that time, because I mean Orange Cassidy was wrestling every mat or every show, and it's just like it felt like there was like six people in wrestling doing the same gimmick. It's like, yeah. Oh my god, this is so old right now.
So speaking of Orange Cassidy,
oh, and I forgot, his segment got thrown in there, too, before
Swerve. Yes, that started the show. Like, I'm all for trying to get new faces in new spots, you know? And that's what they're trying to do with this Trent and Orange and Chuck thing. But, like, I don't dislike anybody in this, but I kind of get why Chuck Taylor never has done anything. So Trent's beating the hell out of Orange Cassidy, and he just comes in through the crowd and stands over Orange like, hey, what's up, buddy? And then Trent talks to him, and Chuck's just looking at him like, uh-huh. He's like, well, yeah, and then turns on him. And if I'm Orange Cassidy, I'd be like, what the hell are you thinking? Like, what are you doing, dude? Now you want to help me out? Like, this doesn't make any sense. If I get my ass kicked, you just stand around. Like, you're not that good of a friend to me, actually. So.
Yeah, they always take a lot too long to get around to helping people out.
Yeah. And then it's like, I guess that we were supposed to be like, oh, yeah, Chuck Taylor, blah, blah, blah. And it's like. He said they won't clear him to wrestle in a ring or fight in a ring, and I'm like, they won't? Why not?
I mean, I figured it was just what he was saying to sound tough. Honestly, like, it was one of the, especially since if they actually go through with a parking lot match.
Yeah, they do this. It's on either Rampage or Collision this week. I think Rampage.
Yeah, he's cleared. You know what I mean? Like, they're not actually letting him wrestle. Like, that's just words. Like, he's just trying to sound tough, and that's fine. That's kind of whatever. But, yeah, I don't care. Like, Trent's lost a lot. Chuck Taylor has been, I mean, they've made comments about how long he's been out. Like, and they, it's not like he's gotten some role in the meantime that would make him attractive in any way.
But it's like he has like the personality of a slug sometimes, and that's kind of like this needed more fire. But you know, whatever, it was what it was. At least it's leading to something. Like there's a story there. So hey,
okay. yeah, it's not my favorite story, but it's a story.
Yeah. Did they get rid of the rankings and just not say anything?
No, they've talked about them on and off, but they don't consistently talk about them.
Okay, because why the hell was there this gauntlet or whatever eliminator match? One, why is Kyle Fletcher, like, is he in the top 10? No. Then why the hell is he in a world title eliminator? That doesn't make any sense. Like if he was number 3, I'd be like, oh, okay, I get it, so we can try and hop up, or whatever. But then we have this long-ass match with a bunch of, like, you know, decently credible people, and then Commander, and Dante Martin. At least Dante started. As soon as Commander came in, I turned to her and go, I've never seen this guy win a singles match in AEW. I know he's won a tag team match. I have never seen Commander win a singles match.
I wonder if he won one on Rampage. But honestly, I'm even to the point where I have skipped Rampage for quite some time.
Yeah, it's not. Even this 3-hour block on Saturdays, it's not worth it. Like, especially with the weather getting nice out, no chance.
Because I knew I was getting a pay-per-view, I'm like, I'm not watching your 3 hours on Saturday.
No,
like,
no, I don't blame you. Yeah, if
this is the way it's gonna work.
Yeah, if I was doing that, I wouldn't have watched any of that stuff. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, the Vikings moved up. Damn it, we were about to get the Jacksonville pick. I wanted to see if Tony Khan was gonna be in a neck brace or not.
That was a pretty funny meme, and I do hope that it happens. Like, I hope everyone was showing him in like a head brace. I want him in the old school Bobby Heenan foam collar.
Is that, or I want him in the halo, which is absolutely.
A lot of people were doing showing memes of him in a halo.
Yeah, which would be ridiculous for a day later, but it'd still be funny. But yeah, like this match was fine. A bunch of people, you're like, okay, and I put it on my Twitter account. Penta's just cool looking. Like, there's no one that looks cooler than him in wrestling. And I watch a ton of shit.
I was wondering, you love the Block O on his back, huh?
Eh, whatever. But, like, you know, that's not perfect. I didn't say it was perfect. But, I mean, dude, he's got the makeup, the masks,
the tattoos.
But I'm trying to think of someone that looks, like, cooler. Like, when Lucha Underground was around, lot of guys, you know, that were kind of comparable, but he always stands out. Now, it doesn't mean I think he's all that great, because he still doesn't sell for shit, but it's AEW, so he fits in. But, yeah, I was like, this is really cool.
Yeah, I concentrate so much on the, although he's cut back on the Zero Miedo stuff. Where it's not as annoying as it once was.
Oh, God, I couldn't stand that.
Yeah, I had concentrated on that to not worry about his look, but, I mean, him and Phoenix actually have good looks.
Phoenix is fine, but just next to his brother. I guess Black Taurus would be really cool looking, but that is so impractical. Wear as a wrestler, you know, the moose head or the bull head and all that stuff. Like, no, that's crazy. But Yeah, but this match just went on, and it's like, all right, all these guys are in there, and then Will Ospreay wins.
It was tough for Tony Schiavone always pushing like, oh, this match is so innovative. We don't even know the rules, and I'm just like,
I was getting pissed because
I
they
it
kept
was
saying
like,
that stuff.
yeah, and it's like, no, like not knowing the rules doesn't make it cool. Like I even not to jump to WWE at this point, but I'm like, in comparison, they released draft rules, and I'm just like, thank fucking God.
Yeah.
Like, yes, like any organization has rules to a draft. I don't care if it's baseball, football, basketball, hockey. Like, they all have rules. And it's just like the WWE is like, oh, hey, just show up and there's going to be a draft. Like, don't worry about it. And it's just like, this is fucking terrible, guys. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you need to give us some information.
Well, the thing is, they kept saying, we don't know how many people are in this. We don't know how long this is going to be. And I'm going, am I watching Clusterfuck? Because those were their rules. Now, theirs was an elimination, so you could get eliminated. It wasn't just one single pinfall.
Oh, okay.
But I'm like, you're clearly stealing this. And now,
I
outside that was like, you can win by pinfall, submission, or death. That's the only way you can get eliminated. Well, this one is just whatever. But yeah, but as soon as Commander came out, I'm like, he's taking the L, and I started cracking up laughing when he got pinned. Like, could you have just have him come out first? Why not just have a number one contenders match with him and Will Ospreay? And everyone just goes, why? It's the same thing. Ospreay just beat Daniel Bryan. Sorry, God, I always mess that up. Bryan
Brian.
Danielson, and then he has to go through a gauntlet or whatever this is. And beats Commander. And now he's the number one contender. Like,
The last guy out is Commander.
yeah.
Like that's his big bad that needs to be taken out.
Yeah. I know we had what, the women's match was on this too. And I know we're delaying to get to the end, but I actually thought the women's match was fine.
Because, oh yeah, Anna Jay and Mina Shirakawa.
Yeah.
Yep, that was
Fine.
good. Like, I mean, yeah, they didn't overstay it. I mean, Anna's one where I feel like she's a good enough wrestler that she should get more time, but she doesn't get more time, so, like, I don't know what to say. Like,
Well, never mind. There's certain assets that Anna Jay has that,
Yep.
oh, Jesus Christ. I'm like, whoa, wait a second. When did that become like that? So anyways, yeah, and
That way for a while.
I don't know, it just looked way healthier, like strong. So I guess that if her and Jack Perry are still together, the Jungle Boy juice is doing a body good, I guess. But that's when we have
Yeah.
like, Toni Storm comes out, Mariah May's not dressed like Toni Storm anymore, so I guess that's done, which is
I
whatever.
do like that's another one where at least story wise, I'm glad that Mariah May is not just some like weird like throwaway that Toni Storm mistreats. Like, I'm glad that she's her child now.
Yeah, well, I mean, they just let Toni Storm be a face now, which is everyone was cheering her anyways, so good. We finally listened. I know we had, and what was it?
Yeah, because then there was Serena Deeb
Yeah.
shouting from the beach.
Just talking with no microphone. And then
God.
I'm trying to figure out when was
Yeah, and then we covered Willow.
that was fine, just whatever. It's like, all right, obviously.
Well, that was another one where they're just like, oh, we were just waiting until what's her name was out of the way, and then we're gonna let Mercedes be a heel.
Yeah, and that's just what it seems like. It's obviously Statlander's gonna turn on Willow, which is fine. It's logical. It's logical. So
Yeah, if Willow does that, actually, that would be one of the great reasons for a short reign. Because it's almost like, why do you want to... A, I do think that AEW has a bad habit of getting titles out of hands entirely too quickly. But this one might make a great deal of sense if Statlander screws her over at Double or Nothing.
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right. And that's what, you know, a short title reign like that, like, oh, because even Statlander's was kind of short. You know, she beats Jade Cargill, and it didn't seem like it was very long.
Well, it was, I bet you it was a decent length, but she got, that was when I was still watching Rampage, and she was on Rampage most of the time, you know? Oh. Like, she got matches, she won some matches, but they also, like, and they do this with the guys, too, where they just burn through matches. Just to burn through matches instead of having feuds that last a while. And it's just like, oh, okay, well, she's kind of beaten everyone that's in the TBS championship orbit. Like, what do we do with her now? And then she was off TV some, and then she eventually came back on and lost the belt.
Yeah, so it's like, this angle's just working out the way it's supposed to. That's fine. Will Hobbs and Moxley just got hurt because, you know, Hobbs hurt his knee. So that kind of dampened this one.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, that was legit. So him, like, walking, like, limping around and not being able to walk, that was legit.
Oh.
Yeah, so that sucks.
Not great.
No, Will Hobbs
has not had a great experience in AEW.
No, he's been wasted. Just we talked about this a week or two ago. Just absolutely wasted. So whatever, it's not worth it. So
yeah.
Oh yeah, Will Ospreay's gonna face Roderick Strong, who's letting that mustache go. Not a bad choice, to be honest. It makes Roddy look interesting. But boy, Adam Cole's there, and he is just a background player. When they all came out, I was like, damn.
Oh.
So, all right, but fuck it. Let's just get to the main event of this thing, because the Jacksonville Jaguars traded backwards. Plus, Pittsburgh's coming up, so we got at least 15 minutes to talk about this. I didn't mind this end segment. If it was WWE or TNA, and I didn't think it was bad, per se, okay? I don't.
Right.
I've been thinking about this a lot today because I actually enjoyed it when I watched it. I'm like, this is really stupid. Tony Khan sucks as an on-air person. He's just terrible.
Yeah, the wife was quick to point out. She's like, that guy should never be on TV again.
No. It just... All right, have you ever been punched in the stomach?
Yes, I have been.
Okay.
I've played hockey. I've gotten punched in the stomach.
I'm trying to think when the last time I got punched was.
But it was probably sometime when I was playing hockey.
Yeah.
That happened.
And it's just like, I don't remember flying in the air, getting punched in the stomach. Like, and I missed it. Someone said it was with a microphone? He hit him in the stomach with a microphone?
Oh, I did not completely pay attention to that.
Nor did I.
TV, but... I mean, I just chuckled. Like, it was a hell of a sell on TK's part. Like, I did not think it looked anything like anyone who's ever been
in a fight,
in the stomach or in a fight.
Yeah, that man's never been in a fight. He's only gotten his ass kicked. That's it. And it was like he just got shoved to the ground, shoved into locker. I'm sure he probably went to private school. But, you know, and those are probably even worse bullies most of the time. But...
That was just mental torture. They didn't try to stuff anyone in
locker.
Yeah.
But it's like, this angle makes no sense for this company. And what I mean is, Tony Khan already established, listen, if you fuck up, you get fired. How this all started, CM Punk screwed around. He fired him. Well, now all of a sudden things are going to change because the EVPs beat him up? Why aren't the Bucks, Okada, I mean, maybe this is where it's going, but the Bucks, Okada, and Jack Perry should all be fired? Like,
no.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
They want to, they created the storyline for a bigger audience that's ignorant to how the company is, who's, like, ignorant to the product. And they see these guys beating up the boss, like, oh, wow, it's like Vince McMahon. Okay. But the majority of the people who watch this know this is crap. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, this isn't, like, what? So, I'm along for the ride. I don't want to sound like I'm being negative about it.
The salesmanship, I just thought there were a couple of thoughts. A, I thought Tony Khan way back in the beginning said that he's never going to be an on-air personality.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't define the announcements as an on-air personality, but he's going to kind of continue to be one. And whatever. Circumstances change, so I don't really care. You know what I mean? And it's just like, hey, maybe they reevaluate and they think that he needs to do something here, but him not being able to act really does not help matters.
He can't introduce a show like a human being. We've even seen it. In pre-taped segments, he comes off so awkward. What makes you think? Who said this was a good idea to put his awkward ass in front of a live audience on national TV? I don't hate the angle, but it was just like, oddly executed. It's so weird.
Yeah, I mean, it's ineffective. We're building up the heels segment. You know, they attack the dorky, unable to defend himself.
Yes.
You know, yeah, it is a straightforward story. I don't know, like, if you're hit, like, he's just having a sting moment, though, out there. Like, how do you go think that this is going to turn out well for you? Like, you're not thinking you're going to take a Meltzer driver, but... Because that's what that is, isn't that?
Yeah, I was a Meltzer driver.
Okay. You're not expecting that, but... Dude, like, you gotta come out there with some backup.
Okay, so there's a whole lot of wrong at the end of this. So Jack Perry hits him, right?
Yeah.
And then no security. The Bucks come out, like, hey, what the hell is going on? So I guess... You know, they could have said, hey, security, don't do this. But there's security around ringside. So they come in, and they pick him up for the V-trigger. And I've always hated the EVP trigger. Because if the guy's not totally knocked out, just pull your goddamn arms away. That's all you have to do. It's the stupidest thing. And I know, like, He's just sitting there, and it's like, oh, God, here it comes. And then Okada, which they need to establish Okada is the boss. Because he looks just like another guy that the Bucks are just, like, having in the background. Like, to me, Jack Perry stood up more than Okada did. Now, I know he gave, like, the thumbs up or the ups to make him go up top. And, boy, that angle I sent you, I didn't even pay attention to the crowd till the end. But... Did you see how protected Matt was with Tony Khan? I mean...
I noticed it from the regular TV angle, but, you know, that's one where it's just like, you should really be careful with his awkward ass.
Yeah. No, that was actually praise. Like, yeah, he's very careful. And actually, on the regular play, on the regular TV, I thought it looked pretty good. So
I could just tell. Well, A, it doesn't help that Tony Khan is also like 5'2".
Yeah.
Or where he is. And even though the Jacksons are not the tallest wrestlers in the planet, I do believe they're at least, average height.
Yeah. But it's like, they protect him. I thought the camera shot was pretty good, too, to get technical about it. I thought the camera shot was pretty good because, you know, Matt and Nick protected him. And, like, they had it angled just right, so you really couldn't tell. His head was nowhere near the mat. But then, but then it's also like, you saw a master of camera shots on Monday when Ludwig Kaiser kicked Giovanni Vinci. They cut that camera shot at the perfect time where it legitimately looked like he blasted him into Mars. I shot up off the couch like that was amazing. And that's like, wrestling doesn't get enough credit for when stuff goes really well like that. Like that's a shot they got to do over and over and over again in movies, or do it in the editing room, and they're doing it on the fly live. And even like this whole Meltzer driver thing, that movie kind of sucks anyways, because it's just a tombstone. Nick's dainty hands.
Yeah,
it's not really a stuff because he doesn't really do anything. Like if he grabbed his legs and drove down, then fine. But he's just kind of like tapping his hands on him, like get down. Okay.
Yeah, I mean that's the intention.
Yeah,
we're supposed to believe it's a stuff pile drive. Then.
And then, did you see the parade of losers that came down to help out TK after? I was like, jobber, 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 jobber. Oh, Penta. Jobber, jobber. Who's the guy with the cool mustache? Oh, wait a minute. That's his dad. And that's what I was like, okay, I'll go for this. You know?
I saw the memes, and I hadn't seen the full segment yet. So I was expecting him to play a little bit more of a role in this situation, but when he just came out and just did the stare, and then they pretty much cut the show, I was howling.
I like the touch. They keep saying it's a home of AEW, the home of the Jaguars. You know his dad's the owner, and this kind of goes to like what I was saying about the confusing. Mm-hmm. Audience for this, so yeah, I mean it made sense. And like, you know, as a proud dad, it's like, what the hell's going on out here? Like, I didn't give you money for this. So yeah, I enjoyed it. I legit enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, and then, but it's like the more you think about it, it's just a confusing.
Oh,
like a confusing audience that you're going for, because your audience knows this is bullshit.
Right. So, yeah. That's why it doesn't really make a lot of sense, but it's also like a regular wrestling tool that everyone's used in wrestling.
Yeah, but I will tune in. I will watch Collision on delay, of course, and to see if they follow up with it. The Pittsburgh pick is in. So
Yeah, we're gonna make this the transition, huh?
From yeah.
AEW to NXT. Yeah, they're making us wait through a commercial for this one.
Did you see this? 275,000 people are there.
That is I guess I didn't realize that they, because I remember seeing the structure when we did the show last year and watched the draft. I didn't realize they constructed that on site. Like, I guess I thought that they were hosting this at a stadium or something like that. Okay. And I guess I did not realize they're just basically using a modular dome and taking it from city to city.
Yeah, it's the same set. So who are you hoping they take here?
A lot of the offensive tackle choices are off the board currently, so this will be kind of interesting. They have a lot of options. They could go Iowa cornerback Cooper DeJean would not upset me at all. I'm trying to think. There have been a little bit of a run on defensive players. None of the centers have been picked. Graham Barton, I guess, might be the offensive lineman if they end up going in that department. I feel like more of the tackles are off the board. It felt like tackle was their most obvious choice that they wanted to go with in most Pittsburgh draft analysis that I saw. So I do feel like it almost has to be offensive line.
Why is this taking so damn long? Let's go.
Yeah, they are really...
What the hell? The other people are like, yeah, we got our pick in. Come on, Tomlin, do something. Jesus Christ.
You got to talk to Omar. He's in charge of the war room now.
God. No, it's not the war room. It's the draft room.
They're not war rooms
anymore.
Yeah.
Who the hell is this guy?
A Mexican guy with a suit that is... Oh, no. Are those overalls with just a suit jacket?
Oh, he ain't moving real fast.
That is a hell of a look.
Poor guy.
Steelers kind of are... Oh, Cam Hayward there. That man is everywhere. He ends up at SmackDown this past week. Pops into the draft in Detroit. Busy, busy gentleman.
Yeah.
And is he actually going to make the announcement, or is he just... Oh, was he Walter Payton Man of the Year,
I think? Yeah, I think it's what he just said.
Okay. Yep.
So cool. Let's go. We got to get back to wrestling. God damn. Like, every pick we've been doing this show, every pick's come in within 5 minutes, and it's over. And Pittsburgh's like, hang on a second.
We could have milked another 5 minutes out of Tony Khan taking a Meltzer driver.
And now he's giving a speech about the... oh, my God. So,
yeah, I'm not listening.
Yeah, like, dude, all I want to know is the pick.
Just have it on here. Why is there Bengal Jim is in the front row there? I wonder how much Bengal Jim. Do you have to pay for tickets to go to this thing?
I'm guessing underneath the dome you do, or the awning, whatever they want to call it. But I think the other one you just walk in. There we go. About fucking time.
I mean, I still haven't seen it. I don't know if my feed is behind yours, but wow, this is... we needed the longest drum roll on the planet. Oh!
I love this draft pick. That's so funny. For all the wrong reasons.
I forgot that they were showing him. That Fontenot was on the board still. I feel like that was one of... They called him a guard in the draft, which I thought was kind of weird since they also showed him playing tackle. So
they said on his, it said, I'm watching the NFL Network, and they showed him as a tackle.
For whatever reason, ESPN was showing him as a guard. I'm just like,
you
just showed the highlight of him playing tackle, guys. Like, yeah.
I can't take the ESPN stuff. They're so serious about this. And then you get on, like, the NFL Network, and, like, Rich Eisen's doing it, and the guys are, like, kind of goofing around, having fun with it. And ESPN's like, so what do they need to do with this pick to solidify their future? I'm like, shut up. Just shut up, you nerds. Ugh. So anyway, speaking of the future.
Speaking of nerds, we will talk about more wrestling.
Yeah, back to our regular scheduled wrestling program. I enjoyed NXT this week, but some of the results really made you go, oh, okay. Like, I get it. Some didn't, but, like, Roxanne Perez winning did not surprise me at all.
She was not coughing up the title to Tatum Paxley, for sure. It would seem like a weird bounce-back win for Lyra Valkyria to Boy, I could not think of how to spell her name today to save my life
I
when I
couldn't
was
either.
watching that show.
No. I'll tell you what, though. I really enjoyed that opening match, though, with the three women.
Yes. Tatum Paxley, she's the one where I'm like, Valkyria's problem's never been the wrestling part. And it's definitely not been Roxanne's problem either. And not that I think that she really has any problems, period, end of sentence. But yeah, I mean, again, she's one of those ones that she's young enough that if they want to let her cook longer, I guess, have at it.
Well, there's rumors Paxley's going up, which is bizarre because she's only been around for she was been around since the beginning of 2.0 for NXT, but then she just disappeared. And now she comes back as like the goth girl seeking, whoever the champion is, and they're going to call her up. It's like that's a weird one to me, at least it's a weird one.
Yeah, that would seem like a strange call
Yeah.
up to.
Valkyra's not ready. I'm not even being a dick about it. The character work's not like I don't know. It's not there. The in-ring work is. But yeah, I just enjoyed the pace of this. Like I've noticed WWE's doing this a little bit more. So when there's a three-way match, triple threat,
Yeah.
it's pretty much go 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 go. The end. There's not a lot of lulls. And
Oh.
I think AEW's actually did that for one or two of them as well. It's just everyone's like everyone, as you would expect in a triple threat. Something happens, someone else is right there. Like it's just constantly someone's getting in someone's way. It's more realistic to me, which is triple threat is an idiotic match anyways, always has been. But I like the fast pacedness of it.
Awkward.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, really well wrestled match. I did enjoy it.
Yeah, and then this show was so frenetically paced, though. Like, we get a backstage skit with Alexis King and Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin looked like he just got back from Disney World. That was a weird outfit. And Alexis just beats him later, and I'm like, oh, Baron must be going back up. I'm guessing.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely feels like one of those guys that he didn't have, like, what else does he have to do down there, really?
Yeah, I know.
What he has to do on the main roster either, but it feels like he's feuded with most of the big men in NXT. And, yeah. Go away. Like I guess that's the one thing to me with them. Like, I do like people popping down into NXT, but yeah, Baron Corbin seems like he's over his welcome at this point.
Yeah, I think he definitely benefited with being with Braun. And then like Shayna Baszler showing up, I like that. And then she can just go back to the main roster, just like Natty's going to. But they did say they're gonna move people around, so some may be in NXT again. Which seems this final testament, I'm actually really digging this version of Karrion Kross. Like, he's cutting good promos, they make sense.
Oh,
And then
yeah.
you got these doofuses, like, ugh. But I mean, why? Why Paul Ellering? Why?
If they got rid of Paul Ellering, the group would be great. Like that would be exactly what you want. You get these two bruiser tag, get the bruiser tag team, the head guy, and then, the valet that may or may not wrestle every now and again. I mean, they have not really given her a whole lot of matches, so I'm not counting
No.
on her really wrestling all that much.
Yeah, she really, once she got to WWE, that was really it.
Yeah, I mean, I did watch her wrestle. I thought she was fairly good when I saw her way back in the Impact Wrestling days of, like, dear Lord, it's like 5 years ago or
Yeah,
something
yeah.
now. So,
Scarlett Boudreau. Wearing lingerie for the most part. Not a complaint. I
oh
think it's
yeah,
well established for our audience how I feel about Scarlett, so.
because well, I think that was the one that the match. I think I saw the match against Disco.
Yes.
To come to think of it, because he was doing the whole sexist angle thing, and he lost.
Yes, yeah, yes.
So,
but yeah, but like this version of Karrion Kross is cool as hell.
Yes,
and
I'm with you too. Like it finally has something of a focus. Like it always felt like he was trying to jam like three or four themes into one idea.
Yeah.
It's just, like this, like it might work for a movie kind of situation, but it doesn't work for a wrestling situation.
No. But just this guy who's like slowly becoming more unhinged, but being coherent about it. It's like, and I guess he had this phase like way ago, and he was actually really interesting. I never saw it. He'd always been the bald guy to me, and like this whole thing. I mean, everything works. The look, he's always had a decent look, but like the longer hair, the goofy mustache beard like Triple H had.
Yeah, he's kind of going Chester A. Arthur on us.
Yeah, and it's like,
similar
all right.
To Nicholas. Yeah, Nicholas is growing out a pretty good Chester A. Arthur too.
Yeah, and I'm like, all right. So, let's see. I'm curious to see where this goes. If they're going to stay down there. Which is fine because, you know, he's not really doing too much on SmackDown now. Like, did you see the promo he cut after WrestleMania loss?
I would imagine I did.
It was on their YouTube page or something. It was really good.
Okay.
And I was like, where the hell, where's this been?
Oh, the Karrion Kross one?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Because that was something, and I'm not really going to jump back to AEW, but it is kind of funny that if I see a clip on the X, I'm more likely to take it in than YouTube for some reason.
That makes sense, yeah.
Especially if there are these little shorts. Because I forget, there was something that helped fill me in about something happening on AEW TV. It's kind of funny how like I have my own double standard in a lot of ways where, you know, it almost feels like those things are a little more accessible than jumping into YouTube for it for whatever reason. But, yeah, I did hear that, and to go back to Karrion Kross, now that you kind of described it, he's like, oh, I fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like, I did this wrong. I'm going to correct it. Like, I'm going to, you know, like, I'm learning my lesson from my own mistake. And it's just like, okay, great. Like, you know, it was a really fun promo. And, like you said, like, I do feel like Final Judgment has gotten more coherent since that time.
I mean, Final Testament?
Or Final Test.
Yeah, yeah, okay, let's make sure. Yeah, so...
Final Judgment.
Yeah, I know. It's whatever. Well, you can't have Judgment, Final Judgment, and Judgment Day. That'd be confusing.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, what the hell? Oh, yeah, Fallon Henley and Jada... Oh, no.
Parker.
Thank you. I was like, I want to say Patterson. That's not it. It's whatever. Yeah. Like, that was just there. It's weird that they advertise spring break and spring break, spring break, spring break, and then they go, all right, we make this match tonight. We made this match tonight. Like, hey, Ava, is it your job to have the card already done?
Oh, man. I mean, I did like, what was it, that there was a rumor that Fallon Henley was going on to the main roster. And her name was going to be like Lululemon LaBelle or something like that.
What?
There, it was something that Fallon Henley retweeted on.
Oh, okay.
And it's just like, oh my gosh.
I was like, what?
Because I don't even think it was a parody account. I think it was someone that was supposed to be, you know, sending out real-ish rumors.
Oh.
It's just like, who? And, I mean, I did laugh that Dijak's like, hey, I've heard worse names.
Yeah, it's very true. So, yeah, what was his? He was, what, T-Bar?
T-Bar.
Yeah. Or Dewdrop, another one. Another, like, at least we know that won't happen. You know? Like, they're gonna, for better or worse, they're gonna keep the same names,
Yeah.
same gimmicks, all that stuff. So.
Yeah, because I mean, she's one where I guess it would not shock me if the WWE feels like they need more women's wrestlers on the main roster. Fallon Henley seems like she could be on that list to get called up. I don't know if they will for sure, but.
Well, it's funny because like Jade Parker just beats her, and I'm like, am I supposed to boo her? Like Fallon Henley's been nothing but a pain in the ass to everybody, and she's supposed to be the hero? Like, no, that's all right. Oh, and, all right. So another woman I think's going up has got to be Blair Davenport, right? I mean, that was decisive the way she lost.
Yeah, like she's definitely one where though I might not be sure about Fallon Henley, I felt completely sure. Like, I'm like, yeah, Davenport has to be going up. Like you said, it was a very decisive win. And yeah, like how long was Davenport in NXT UK? It's like one of those. In a minimum, Triple H should know what he has in her,
Yes.
even if she has missed a little bit of time due to injury between UK and now. But who cares? Like, I mean, from what I've seen, she doesn't need anything else.
No, I mean she's got the presentation, she has the look, she has the ability. She can talk. Bye.
Yeah,
We'll see
and
you on
she
Raw or
wrestles
SmackDown.
well. Yeah.
But yeah,
Yeah.
so that was just decisive to me, like Jesus Christ. Like, the family beating the Catch's Catch Can group, or whatever the hell they're called.
No Quarter Catch Crew.
Sure. That
And that
surprised me.
NAQ double C, as Vic says. And Booker's like, huh?
Yeah.
He's like, no Quarter Catch Crew. Thanks for trying to shorten that, Vic, but you just made your job even harder.
What? Oh, so, all right. So the family winning surprised me because there's been rumors about them getting called up. And Luciano Chris. Oh my God, Lu.
Crucifino.
Thank you. Him wearing a faux shirt and tie with no sleeves warmed my heart so much. I don't know why I thought that was really fun. Like it's so trashy. Like, really? You have to make sure everyone knows you're a lawyer? Like, okay. But yeah,
Yep.
I mean, Tony D win at the end. I'm like, there's no way the No Quarter Catch Club is going up. Did I get that right?
Crew.
Whatever. So, but yeah, so that surprised me. Oh, Booker T's reaction to Lexus King winning. And Vic goes, "Why are you trying to touch me?"
Oh, why did I miss that?
Booker, I guess Booker must have just been like poking him or like touching his arm. And Vic's like, "What?" He's like, "Say something. All you're doing is touching me." And Booker's like, "How do you like that?" And he's like, and then he goes, and then Vic goes, he hit him in the Richard. And Booker says something and just starts laughing. I'm like, did he fall asleep? Like, what happened?
Booker needed a cue to help join back into the conversation. Yeah, I don't know what happens with those two. They have enough awkward moments every week that though they are far more entertaining together, yeah, Booker still goes into business for himself sometimes, and
Yes.
it gets weird
It's the
quickly.
funniest damn thing too, 'cause you gotta look in the background. You'll see Booker's purposely doing this stuff. If he gets Vic with something good, just look in the background. He is smiling like an asshole. It's great. I mean, even like, I mean, all the announcers must be so happy Vince is gone. McAfee and Cole seem to be having fun. Barrett and Corey Graves seem to be having fun. Like little inside jokes and everything else. Like, oh.
Yeah, that has turned into the pairing that no one expected. And Corey Graves doing a pretty good job as a play-by-play guy.
Yeah, well, I guess, Cole says he's the future. So.
Oh, I did not. If as play-by-play guy, good for him.
Yeah, no. Cole was talking about Corey Graves or something. And it was before, I think it might have been WrestleMania or one of the PLEs. And he goes, "I'm here with the future. I'm here with the future WWE Corey Graves." And it's like, wow, you don't just say that. I mean, we got to remember Michael Cole's the head of all the announcers. He's in creative, so it's like, and he did say he's wrapping it up eventually. So.
Because what I mean, that was wild that I think Cole mentioned that it's been 27 years that he's been in the WWE
Yes.
recently. It's just like, dear God.
Oh my God, he's got the neck brace on. Jesus Christ. Breaking news, Tony Khan is wearing the old Bobby the Brain Heenan neck brace.
Oh, I am so disappointed I didn't get to see it before you said
Oh, I'm
something.
sorry, I forgot I'm ahead of you.
Well, then, I
And he's
mean.
turning his neck in it. You don't turn your neck!
Oh, no. Oh, my God. Either I'm way behind or ESPN is just doing their own thing.
Turn on the NFL Network. That's the one I had it on. It was hilarious.
That's great.
We all got our answer. It's not the
Oh,
answer we were looking for, or maybe it
that's
was.
fantastic.
Jesus. So I know we're gonna miss something on the show, but
No, we're probably not going
it
to.
really was
Did the
all.
family, Fallon and Jada. Oh, and then we had the contract signing with Natalya and Lola Vice. And I mean, I thought that that was fun and effective. Like, I mean, it made sense for her to bring in Shayna Baszler as her trainer.
Yeah, and I love the fact Lola Vice finally acknowledged what we're all thinking. Why do you consistently shake your ass when it's in like a serious moment? Like she's just constantly doing it, and it just cracks me up. Like she's at someone's deathbed, she's just
Just
shaking it.
shaking her
Yeah, just
ass.
shaking it. Like someone needs to start doing that. Just put her in bad situations, like.
It needs to be
Yes, it really does. It's the funniest damn thing to me. And she was,
memed.
yeah, I like shaking my ass, but I like you getting in fights too. And I'm like, sure, you got it, flaunt it, but it's just awkward. So I'm not telling her to stop either. So yeah, that was fine. It was hilarious. Like it's a contract signing. Ava, sign here. Okay, you can sit down. All right, you sign here. Sit down. That's it. Like that's all we should be doing. Like,
Well,
why are we
I
still sitting here?
mean, Shayna got kicked in the face. I mean, we still got our normal brawl segment after a contract signing.
Yeah, true. And then the main event. That's all I really wanted to talk about with the show, anyways.
Well, and before we get to the main event itself, I feel like this has been a consistent thing here recently. Always love when former stars come back and hype up opponents for a big match. You got Trick Williams talking to Johnny Gargano. Damian Priest gives Ilya Dragunov an approving nod and good luck champ. While carrying his championship, you got the Creeds coming back. Like, I loved all that stuff leading up to this match.
I also love the Creeds being behind the announcers
Oh.
during the match. Julius was so into this match, and I don't think it was fake either. I don't think they were like, "Hey, you guys got to go out there and do something really special." Like, no, I legitimately think he was that involved in the match. Like,
I.
because all these guys kind of like appeared at the same time together on TV, at least.
Oh, they're just both of them just seem enthusiastic.
Yeah.
Because Brutus, like, banging the, in a similar way, like, him banging the, what the hell is that? The barricade?
Yeah.
Yeah, just the barricade. Like, I mean, he just, those two guys both seem like they're just like, yeah, we're in. Like, no, 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 don't worry about it. We're in. Like, yeah. we got this.
Yeah, I mean, when you've got two faces going against each other, you know, it's okay. You can root for both. Or you just root for two guys to beat the hell out of each other, you know?
Well, and I mean, that was one thing that they kept, I felt like they consistently did with those interviews leading up to this match. Like, almost all the tag teams ended up disagreeing with each other. Like, one ended up in Trick, one picked Ilya, and, like, the other one's, like, looking at the other one like, why the fuck would you pick them?
Yeah. But even, like, Grayson Waller in Theory, yeah, that was...
Yeah, even those two, because, yeah, Theory's like, whoop that Trick, and it's like, it's just fun to say.
But then also, Waller has issue with Trick Williams. Remember, with the whole Mello thing?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that is kind of funny, and he does not have those problems.
No, and I thought, all right, the match I guess went 17 minutes. I think that's what it was. What it was.
That sounds pretty reasonable. I'll see you, but
I just wanted it to be longer. Like, I guess if there's one drawback, and this is a personal preference, I wanted it to be longer. To really build up the end. And they did such a great job of using callbacks to their old matches.
Oh, yes.
I mean, Ilya said three times he's beaten this guy. And every time he had to get more and more intense with it. Go a little bit further. I want to say extreme, but that's not it. But he had to push himself further. He had the off-the-top rope. What is the forearm H-bomb. Called?
H-bomb.
H-bomb, that's right. I mean, Trick did something he didn't win the other matches, didn't work. Ilya hits one, doesn't work, which everyone knew it wasn't going to.
Oh.
Goes up for another one for the second rope, doesn't work, because he hurt his hand.
Oh.
So it was nice that he remembered, because it was like, wait. So...
Yeah, they've kept that gimmick running since Stax injured that.
Yeah. But yeah, they did a table spot outside with the Creeds going crazy. They teased enough near falls. And then at the end, it was that Vengeance Day that the same ending happened, but Ilya got to him first?
Correct.
All right. So when they did it, I was like, oh, Trick's going to get him. But I was also wondering if Ilya was going to get him first and Trick was going to kick out.
One more false finish.
Wait.
Your boy is now on the clock.
Oh, shit. Well, goddamn, this one's supposed to happen. I'm sorry, everybody, but... All right, let's see.
The
All right.
Detroit Lions pick is already in. They did, unlike the Steelers, they were not monkeying around here.
I'm gonna turn this up so I can hear who
the pick is. They had 10 minutes on the clock, and the pick is in at the 9:08 mark.
I'm getting a text message, so I don't know.
You're getting the inside scoop?
No.
From someone in the front
office. Okay, so they traded up. Okay. I was like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
So who the hell are they trading up to get?
That's the couple million dollar question.
Well, they seem pretty happy with whoever it is. Now, when are they going to pay Jared Goff already?
Is his contract up?
This year it is, yeah.
That is wild. I don't know what park that is in, but that's huge.
Hart Plaza.
Huge.
They're also in the road too. Don't be fooled.
Okay.
Yeah, they've taken over whole.
Like a literal block.
I'm sorry, those are my people. I shouldn't be calling them that. My bad. All right, so we got 7 minutes to go with this. All right, so anyways.
Why are there so many Detroit Lions fans there?
Yeah, I can't imagine why. But no, so, yeah, I thought the end was really well done, but as soon as he got the knee first, and you saw the way that Dragunov like rolled up, I was like, oh, that's it.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, I love Ilya Dragunov, but how can you not just watch this match and be like, oh my god, like you saw somebody ascend. Oh, that's cool as hell. To a much higher height than you expected when you first saw this dude. Because remember, Trick Williams just started as a guy that showed up and told Mello to stop being a pussy. You know?
Yeah.
So, and he had a boxing glove match, you know, against, was it Wes Lee, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. And we were all like, that was terrible. And now that crowd pop was legit.
Yeah, that crowd went bonkers. Yeah. Like, that was one where you could really feel like that. Yeah, the WWE, like, it's been one of those things where everyone's been into it. Like, the people that have been at the shows have been into it. And it's always more fun to watch wrestling when people are into it. And you could definitely tell that people were into that win. Like, even though you kind of got some dueling chants during the match itself, like, everyone kind of recognized the moment.
Yep. All right, so hold that thought. And we're back to the draft, everybody.
I don't know what else thought there is to really put into it. Like, it was... Like, Dragunov is in that category where it's just like, he should be on the main roster. Like, this isn't complicated here, people. Like, he's just another guy. It's just like, what else do you, like, he doesn't need to do anything else. Just does not. I'm trying to buy time.
No, you're fine. No, I mean.
This is going to take a while, too. Like, they're introducing, like,
flag football people.
Every high school in Detroit's team captain.
Yeah, LaPierre. They
make the pick.
Oh, hey, Ellie. What's up? I mean, she may be 16. Never mind. Boo.
Good lord, man.
All right. Come on, boys.
Drum roll, please.
Love our Alabama boys.
Well, you know, since you had to let go of one cornerback, it makes sense that you pick another one.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, kind of had to. So,
yeah, hey, boys. Not a great situation to put yourself in.
I mean, let's see. JMO's worked out pretty good. Gibbs has worked out pretty good. Okay, yeah, we'll take some Alabama guys. That's fine with me. I got no problem with that pick. And it's funny to see people actually happy to go to Detroit. Because, like, Amon St. Brown even said today, he's like, yeah, when I got drafted by Detroit, I was like, oh, my God, just please don't draft me. And now he's like, I can't imagine being anywhere else. I've actually have that hat. Yeah, no, I wasn't wearing it. Good. Hopefully you work out.
Yep. Well, definitely fills the hole. Definitely fills the hole.
Yeah, because, I mean, they got some reasonable contract situation, too, with the other guys, so.
Okay. Right. So anyways, say about wrestling, though? I mean, do you have anything more to say about Trick picking up the dub?
But when you were talking about, like, main roster stuff, it's like, well, we know Mello's going. If Trick would have lost, okay. Because I mean, I still go back to when Trick saved Mello on SmackDown. The crowd went crazy. And they all started chanting, "Whoop that Trick." Like, they knew who he was already. Which is more than can be said for some of the other NXT people that come up.
Yeah.
So, but Dragunov, I mean, what else is he supposed to do? So, he should be just fine up there. I mean, I know he's a little shorter, but that doesn't seem to matter anymore. So,
that, I mean, I kind of talk about it all the time to me. Like, he, even though he's short, that man is thick.
Yes. His intensity takes over as well.
Yeah. And he's just like, he's a bigger version of Darby Allin.
Yeah.
You know, like, he is a gigantic, ripped version of Darby Allin, where he puts just everything into his moves. And it's just like, even if he is going against someone bigger like Gunther, you believe it, because he's just throwing this ripped body like at other people. That, and I have started to watch, he's on, James Harrison has started to go down with his workouts ever since he stopped playing for the Steelers. Dragunov posts his workouts on X all the time, and I'm just like, you're an insane person for doing one-arm push-ups with like a 45-pound plate on your back.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, I believe everything that you're doing in the ring. Like, that man just really commits to it, and yeah, God bless. I wish him all the success in the world.
Yeah, and I think he's going to get it too.
Yeah, I would be shocked if he doesn't, because yeah, I mean, I do think that he is different than like the Garganos and Ciampas. Like, even though those two guys are both ripped, like, I don't feel like they look as big as Dragunov does.
No.
Like,
no, no.
Even if the weight difference is only, like, maybe 10 pounds or something like that, that 10 pounds is important.
Yeah. And it's really, like, yeah, kind of, like, he's kind of felt like that 10 pounds is carried all over. So, oh, yeah. That's cool as hell. But, no, if whoever would have won this, I'm like, okay. But, yeah, but Trick, though, I mean, you know. Well, it's, to me, it's like, it's just another success story. And it's like, obviously we don't know this man, but it's just cool. Like, I don't know, there's something like a slight underdog to it all. And him coming up, now he's a champion there, and I know it's a fake sport, whatever. But it's just cool. And that crowd reaction be what it was, I mean, damn. And there goes 200,000 people leaving.
and he'll, you know, I do feel like he's going to be there for that cycle, too. Like, the NXT, what I'm going to call the NXT cycle now. You become a baby, you come out as a babyface, end up becoming the champ, everyone turns on you, you do your heel run, and then you get your main roster spot.
Yep, yeah.
Because, I mean, I had to laugh, like, I didn't mention it when we were talking about the triple threat match. I was howling, though, for the most part, when Valkyria got a bunch of boos during her introduction. Like, she was the only one that got booed. Roxanne got cheered more than Valkyria did.
Yeah, that's what I keep saying. They need to get on the road. But
it's the natural order of things in NXT now, and I feel like it's going to happen to Trick Williams at some point.
Of course it will.
Of course it will. Everyone's going to turn on him. He'll do some type of variation of, honestly, probably what Carmelo Hayes just did. You know, blame someone else or, you know, all that other good stuff.
Yeah. I'm watching this. The old Tarian here. He pulled an AEW. The lady interviewing him, he had his back to the crowd. I can't remember. I didn't make out what she said. He took the mic from her. And he started, like, cutting a promo to the Detroit fans. So, but no, man. It's going to be interesting to see now, because it's his show. The draft is tomorrow as we're recording this, so it's like a new world. So with a lot of NXT is going to look a lot different next week.
Yeah, and that will be interesting just to see. I didn't end up pulling up the rules, and I guess care enough about it right now to go over them. But yeah, I mean, it does feel like it's going to be a little more organized, and I guess I have a little more faith in the shuffle given who is in charge currently.
Yep. Yeah. So it'd be nice if they could slow down NXT a little bit too, not introduce 47 people a show. So, because they still manage to sneak in so many people on this, like the women backstage, the tag team stuff backstage. Like Jesus Christ, everyone's getting on TV. So,
yep, there are a lot of names because there was that I can't even think of, was it Trey, and I feel like it was two T's. The African American team that was introduced in a video this week.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Because I kind of forgot. Like I was like, they didn't introduce that many people. And I'm like, dude, they had. Like I started thinking to myself, like they had an introductory video for that. For that new tag team, because it did make me think. I'm like, oh my God, those guys are huge. Between them and OTM and AOP, like they got some big boys in, mm-hmm. in that tag team division.
They absolutely do. So, well, we'll see how it goes.
OTM has not exactly been lighting it on fire. So these guys definitely have an opening.
Yep. All right, well,
a new day starts. On your part, sir.
No, not this week, just water.
Okay, one of the travel beers from last year, still had a few in the old beer fridge here. Mirror Twin Brewing out of Lexington, Kentucky. Phantom of the Guava Sour New England IPA with guava. Do not really taste the IPA end of it as much. The guava is a very tasty flavor, and it does have a nice sourness to it. And I think those might kind of overwhelm the hop part, but it's still a very good beer, even if I wouldn't have known that necessarily it was an IPA. So should one find themselves in Lexington, Kentucky, with a high degree of suggestion, I say go to Mirror Twin Brewing. So that is the suggestion from Matt DeFrango 11. He is at Granny Maze. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any other locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Amazon. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.